Well, this year we've spent a fair amount of time here on Books and Arts pondering the decline of traditional publishing in the face of the e-revolution. Today we're turning our attention to the music industry and to the future of the independent artist versus the major label in the online marketplace. Or maybe one will do better than the other. Who knows? We might find out. First, take a second to think about this. When was the last time you actually bought music, actually paid for it? And could you hold it in your hands? Was it a CD that you could rattle around and lose? Or was it something you downloaded onto your computer? Well, I'm joined now by three people with wide and varied experience in the Australian music industry to explore the state of the industry and what the new online environment, as we say, means for it all. Adam Booth is the label manager at Elusive, which is part of Australia's huge music label, The Mushroom Group. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And Zach Abrams is in, where are you? You're on the Gold Coast. He's the director of the music management company Vice Royalty. He's worked with the likes of the New Zealand female singer Kimbra, who is huge, and the Sydney singer Bertie Blackman, also huge. Hi, Zach.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to have you with us. And in Melbourne is Matt Walters, who's a Melbourne-based singer-songwriter, formerly signed to a major label, now out there on his own.
Yes. Hi, how are you going?
Good. He laughs nervously. Adam, let's set the scene here. What's the state of the, what's the market update, I guess, for the music industry?
Well, look, things are, I mean, obviously sales are down across the board in general. I think everyone knows that. But the good news is that singles, as far as the single song through iTunes and digital sales are up. They're selling five times more what they have ever done. We're in a singles market again. It seems to have come full circle. Digital sales are now, we're sort of seeing digital sales levelling out with physical sales for the first time in forever. But you are right that, you know, it's a tough question to find anyone who's holding a CD in their hands these days. It's all about digital. It's all about what you've got.
So overall, is the industry selling as much music now as it did 10 years ago, or making as much money out of music?
No. I think that's quite obvious. I think that Australia is one of the highest illegal downloaders in the world. We have an insatiable thirst for music. But it's just the ways that people are acquiring music and the ways that, and that's the challenge that labels face is figuring out a way to monetize the way that people are acquiring their
music.
But
even when you buy music digitally online, it's very cheap to buy a track. I mean, does that, I can see that packaging it up in a CD and printing it and so on, there are costs involved in that. Is the profit to the company the same on a track that's on a CD as opposed to a track that you download off the internet?
No. It is quite different. Back in the day, you could imagine that you're paying sort of $7, $8, $9 for a single in Insanity, whereas now you're paying, you know, $1.69 on iTunes, but it is a file. Obviously the profits are different. There is a disparity between that. But I think the biggest challenge right now is the advent of streaming services like Spotify and RDO and the way that we can monetize those royalties.
Will know what they are, so tell us what they are.
Sure. So Spotify and RDO is basically a service or an app that you have on your computer or on your phone that allows you to stream music as opposed to owning it. So essentially you have access to thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of songs at any one point. And you basically choose what you listen to, and it all is not stored on your computer, not stored on your phone. It's stored in a cloud, and you basically listen to.
So it's just like watching something on YouTube.
Essentially, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, your label manager, as I said, at Elusive, which is described as an independent label, what does that mean?
Well, Mushroom and Elusive are independently operated. We basically account for ourselves. We have our own legal teams. We have our own marketing, our own promotion. We produce our own music. The only thing that we rely on with the major labels is our distribution. So essentially, we provide music to our distributor and they distribute it to the masses.
I see. Now, Matt, when we describe you as an independent artist, that doesn't mean you're with an independent label. That means you're an independent artist, does it?
No, yeah, thoroughly independent, I would say, at this time, yeah.
All right. So you weren't always independent. You were signed to a major label 4 years ago when you were just 22. Let's talk about the journey you went on. How did you get that album up?
I was sort of signed in one of the more traditional ways. I, through a mutual friend, I was able to play a few songs in front of an A&R person, which I'm sure in this day and age is virtually unheard of. In
terms of A&R is industry talk for what does it?
Artist and repertoire.
Repertoire, that's right.
Yeah, so I'd played very few gigs. I think I'd done a few open mic things around town, but I was recording songs in my room by night. And I had the opportunity to play in front of this person, and I was signed on the spot.
You're making it sound so gothic. I was recording by night.
Pretty much. I was at university by day and recording by night.
I'm never sleeping.
It was a thrill because I'd read stories. You know, I was a huge Bob Dylan fan and Bruce Springsteen and all these people that were involved with major labels. I thought, well, why wouldn't I get in bed with a major label? It seems like the right thing to do, a great opportunity. And it brought lots of great fortune, like the opportunity to open for artists that I would never usually have been able to open for, like open for Paul Kelly and Ben Folds and all these kind of wonderful people.
And being attached to a major label gave you that, did it?
Well, immediately it sort of allows, it opens those doors. And in terms of recording, it was a great opportunity to work with some producers that I would never have been able to afford otherwise. But I do believe there was way too much money spent on my particular project. There was no way I was ever going to make any money back. It sort of just got out of control, really, I would say.
So now you're alone out there. Why did you decide to do that?
My first album came out last year through Universal, album called Farewell Youth, and it was a sort of commercial, I would say, major label would define it as a commercial disappointment. I'm not sure how many it sold here in Australia. And I got the masters back, and I've actually re-released it online since and sold a few thousand copies outside of Australia in other territories. And that's all from my music being shared around on YouTube and various other platforms.
So does that mean things are going well for you?
Things are great. I mean, only because I don't feel like I'm in the dark anymore. I feel like I'm able to see, you know, each week I'm like, oh, I sold 100.
You've just told us you work best in the dark.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it's great. It's in a way I'm sort of able to be master of my own destiny and sort of see things as they are, you know, which is great.
Now, Zach Abrams, you're listening in on this. You're in the Gold Coast studios of the ABC. You're the director of the music management company Vice Royalty. What do you do? What does that mean?
Well, essentially, I look after three independent Australian bands. I look after a group from Adelaide called Fire Santa Rosa Fire and a pair of them in Melbourne, one called Manor and the other called La Fox. And, that entails kind of everything from looking after their day-to-day tasks and management right through to the development of their music and recording and releasing and all sort of aspects.
Okay, so you're interested in promoting these acts.
Absolutely.
We've got here the man from the label and the independent artist. How do you see the choice between those two as you think about promoting your own performers?
Well, I think, you know, at this point in time, the barriers to entry in the music industry have sort of never been lower. With the advent of sort of things like, online publicity and the sorts of things artists can do for themselves these days, there's a lot you can do on your own as an independent artist. I think where the label really come into play is the ability to provide a bit of funding. And also bring important key players to the project, such as producers or, as Matt mentioned, the ability to tour with a larger artist, a more established artist, and help you really find your feet in the early days. That's really what I see the labels being really valuable for.
Is the temptation then to go independent once you're established?
I think it's really horses for courses. It completely depends on the sort of artist you are, what's the genre you're working in, and so forth. It really depends what you're doing. Some artists will be able to survive an entire career completely independent and be completely self-sufficient, and others will really need more support and access to larger things.
So Kimbra, for example, is now signed with Warner.
She is.
Has that made a difference?
Absolutely. You know, as unique perspective, because when I began working with Kimber, she was signed to an independent label in Melbourne called 4 & 5. And the bulk of her sort of A&R and development happened pre the major label signing. So the majority of her music was sort of in process or having already been created. What the label were able to do was basically take where she was at and just really make it happen on a much larger scale. And she's had the benefit of, international tour support and all sorts of things, and the ability to work with, U.S. artists such as John Legend or, who are on their roster over there. and exposed to that stuff, I'm sure she would have got there on her own, in her own time. But, you know, they were able to make it happen almost immediately, which really has just really propelled her into the world stage.
This is Books and Arts Daily on RN with Michael Cathcart, and we're looking at the future of the musical industry in the online environment. And I've got three guests: Adam Booth, who's the label manager at Elusive, which is part of the Mushroom Group, or is distributed by the Mushroom Group. In the Gold Coast is Zach Abrams, who we've just heard from there, who's the director of the music management company Vice Royalty. And Matt Walters, who's a singer-songwriter based in Melbourne, who's decided to go independent. Maybe we could hear some of your work, Matt. This is a sign of something quite weird and wonderful that's happened to you in a song that was on YouTube. It's called I Would Die For You.
I would die for you.
I would die for you. Now, that really went well on YouTube for you. How did all this happen?
There are more lyrics to the song, by the way. That was just one section.
I'm sorry. We want to hear your golden voice speaking.
Absolutely.
To us.
No. That's just funny. It's been fun. I mean, it's very interesting, and I posted on my social media page, my Facebook page. I said something to the tune of YouTube has its own language. This photographer in Europe found an image that she felt resonated with this song, and as a result, I don't know why, it's attracted over a million views, and it's been really good for me because it's sort of allowed me to sell records online and plan for a European tour early next year and sort of propel my independent career forward.
So does this girl in Poland get a cut? You obviously owe her something.
I actually have been trying to contact her, and I can't get in contact with this person. And I'm not just saying that. I would love to give this person a cut. And when and there isn't really a cut. There isn't really a lot of anything to go around at the moment.
He rapidly says,
yeah. "No, absolutely. I would love. I think the whole thing's very odd, but it sort of I think it encapsulates the thing we're sort of talking about, whereby people can share music now, and artists have that ability to, create their career in that way.
Adam Booth, you're the man from the company. This is a very weird state of affairs. I mean, here are people marketing a record. This is people marketing a record that Matt doesn't even know.
Sure. And look, and so goes the online world with music. It's and I'm sure Zach can tell you as well because he deals in that stuff all the time. But I mean, and Matt just brought up a very interesting point: is that his songs had over a million views, and you would assume that there was a cut to be had for that, but the money doesn't come in from YouTube. It's how you can then accelerate your career based on those views and what you can do based on that information and what you've done. And that's and I think that Matt's story is quite incredible. I mean, I see artists who are stuck in label purgatory and leaving labels all the time that don't have a career post that situation. And Matt has certainly done well for himself.
Still, maybe in the good old days he would have done better.
Maybe.
I would say 10 years ago, without the internet, someone who was essentially dropped from a major label like I was, I would be game over, in this way because of the internet and people able to share things in social media. This song has
so it's given you a second life.
Yeah, essentially, and it's allowing me to sort of build the career I want to build based on what I can do.
When were the good old days, Adam?
I don't think I was around for them, to be honest.
Well, in the 1980s, a record 800 million single units, that vinyl and cassette were sold worldwide.
Sure.
It's a very healthy-sounding industry. This is a time when the pop market's dominated by Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, Madonna, so there are these huge sure. sellers. But that does seem like a golden age.
Sure. And look, you, there are still artists that are as big as... It's hard to think about, but there are still artists that are as big as those artists around now. It's just that, I think... I think there's a lot more entertainment around these days. I think musicians were idolized a lot more back then. But look, I'm a music guy. Like I'm a label guy, but I'm also firmly a music guy, and I firmly believe that there is some amazing world-class history-making music being made at the moment, both here and overseas, and I'm very proud to be a part of the industry.
So is it an exciting time? I mean, sure. You know, online is an exciting thing. We often talk about it in this downcast way as this is going to ruin everything. But of course, if piracy does dominate the market, I guess it could ruin everything.
It could be. The industry just has to adapt to it somehow. I mean, I think that it is an exciting time. I think there's more opportunities for artists. I also think there's more opportunities for labels to find artists that they wouldn't have had a chance to find in the past. For someone who's always looking for something new, you know, like the internet provides a forum for me to find those artists perhaps a little bit too easily. You know, I think A&R and label guys have become quite lazy and just sit on the internet trying to find the next big thing. But it does provide an easier forum for labels to find the next
big talent. Zach, do you want to come in here?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think what Adam's saying is spot on. It is a really exciting time for music. I think what we've had occur with the internet and online music blogging and that sort of thing, it's really broken down the territorial nature of the industry. It's almost like a one world market right now, and like you know, Matt's experience, you can pop your music on YouTube and find fans on the other side of the globe, which you may have never found 10-20 years ago so quickly and so easily. And I think also with you know, streaming services arriving and that sort of thing, it's about putting convenience in front of the consumer, and people are going to be less drawn towards piracy and that sort of thing if they can get music just as easily via a cloud service for a subscription fee or sort of thing. So, you know, definitely the industry has to adapt, and it's going to take a little while for artists to start seeing decent revenue from these sorts of services. But as long as the consumers are coming around to the idea, I think there's a lot of hope.
Zach, do bands still make money out of touring?
Oh, absolutely. I think that particularly in this kind of strange phase between the death of CDs and the you know, uptake of digital sales and sort of thing, touring has really been a major fallback revenue-wise for artists. And, you know, you've only got to look at the Australian summer calendar to see we have more festivals every year. We're getting more international artists out to Australia every year on just enormous tours. The likes, I mean, even if you look at someone like Pink at the moment, I think it's just sold out her 39th or 40th sold-out stadium show in Australia. It's more and more people are craving live experience and real-life experience and prepared to fork out quite a lot of money to see bands live. So, yeah, live revenue has been a huge crutch to you know, CD sales have been down and that sort of thing. Challenge for the industry now is to bring sales of recorded music back up and level it out a little more.
So none of you is melancholy. As we wind up, it sounds as though you're all saying we live in interesting times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Certainly do.
Well, it's been great to meet you all and to have such an upbeat assessment of where we're at. Adam Booth is label manager at Illusive, which is part of Australia's Mushroom Group. Zach Abrams is from the music management company Vice Royalty. And Melbourne-based independent artist Matt Walters has been with us. Next on Books and Arts, the charming world of May Gibbs. And to take us there, here's a little more of Matt Walters. This is Vacant Heart.
Got a vacant heart.